Good morning. I was asked to discuss today Israel, past, present, and future. So our focus for today's discussion is going to be Israel's future. However, as we shall see, discussing the future will also shed light on the present, perhaps past as well. There are two specific questions I'd like to consider with you today. The first is, how do we identify the true Mashiach? And the second is, what will the Messianic era be like? So let's begin with the Chumash. Now, when you ask people where is Mashiach discussed in Chumash, most of the time they say it's not. After all, the word Mashiach doesn't appear in Chumash anywhere. So is it the case that the concept, the notion of Mashiach, is one that's only discussed in the Nevi'im, not in the Mashiach, in Torah and Chumash? So the answer is no, that's not true. The concept, the idea of Mashiach is in fact discussed in the Chumash. Take a look on page 1, the first Makoros from Dvarim Perek Lamed. V'haya ki yavo alecha kol advarim ha'ila bracha v'aklala shenasati lefanecha v'ashivos al vavecha b'chol agoyim asher hidichacha Hashem elokecha shama. So God here is talking to the Jewish people as they scattered throughout the exiles. And the Torah tells us, v'shavta ad Hashem elokecha v'shamata v'kolo k'chol asher anochi mitzavcha yom ata uvanecha b'chol vavcha u'b'chol nafshecha. You'll return to God. V'shav Hashem Elokecha Shvuscha V'richamecha V'shav V'kibetzcha Mikol Ha'amim Asher Hefitzcha Hashem Elokecha Shama. God will then return to you, and He will ingather you from all of the places that He has scattered you. Im niyah nidchacha b'kti ha'shamayim Misham Yikabetzcha Hashem Elokecha U'misham Yikachecha. Even if you are in the far-flung corners of the world, from there He shall gather you. V'aviyacha Hashem Elokecha El ha'aretz Asher Yarshu Avosecha V'irishta V'hirbecha. He will bring you back to the land of Israel, and you will inherit it, and it will be greater for you then than it ever was in the past. Umal Hashem Elokecha Aslevavcha Veslevav Zarecha. God will then circumcise your heart. We'll have to go back and explain what exactly is meant by the circumcision of the heart. It doesn't involve open heart surgery. What, though, does it mean? Somehow involves us coming to love God with all our hearts and souls. Now, it is true that nowhere in this passage does the word Mashiach appear. And of course, we shouldn't be surprised by that. The notion of Mashiach ben David can't be discussed in the Torah. David HaMelech will not be born for many centuries. However, the concept of the Messianic era is fleshed out over here, namely the idea of Kibbutz Galios, returning to the land of Israel, returning to an Israel where we'll have peace, prosperity, blessing, success, and moreover, the idea that we will love God, we will fear God, we will recognize God, and something will have changed. However, as we'll see shortly, the idea of the personal Mashiach, while not mentioned here, is described in the prophets. Before, though, we get to those descriptions of Mashiach the person, it's important to remember one thing, and that is the importance of belief in Mashiach. We all know the Rambam has 13 principles of faith. However, one of them is different than the other 12, and that relates to Mashiach. When it comes to the other 12, the Rambam simply says that a person has to believe. A person must believe that God exists, that there's only one God, that the Torah is from Sinai, that the goodness will be rewarded in Olam Haba, etc., etc. However, when it comes to Mashiach, he adds a particular point. Take a look at the bottom of page 1. Bayisoda Shneimasar Yemos HaMashiach V'hu Lahamin U'L'Amei Shiyavo V'ein Lomar Shenis Acher Im Yismameh Chakelo. To believe that Mashiach will come, and even if it tarries, it will eventually come. Wait for it. U'L'Hamin Bo Min Agdola V'Ha'ava U'L'Ispala Lavau B'Hat'Eim L'Mash Ne'mar Bo Yidei Kol Navi Mimoshe V'Ad Malach U'Mi Shenistapek Bo O'Zilzul Be'Einav Hareze Makhish Satora Shifticha Bo Beferish Beparshas Bilam v'atem nitzavim. So the Rambam here writes that it's not just enough to believe in the coming of Mashiach. One must long for the coming of Mashiach. One must pray for the coming of Mashiach. And this idea is elaborated upon in the top of page 2 from Hilchos Malachim, where the Rambam discusses the Messianic era. And here too he writes, V'chol mi she'eno ma'amin bo, o mi she'eno mechake lebiaso, lo b'shar nevi'im bilvad hu kofer, ela b'torah uv'moshe rabbeinu. Someone who does not believe in the coming of the Mashiach, or someone who does not long for, does not await the coming of Mashiach, so he too is a kofer. Meaning to say, one is a kofer according to the Rambam if one denies the Mashiach, or if one doesn't long for, if one doesn't await, if one doesn't pray for the coming of Mashiach. And the question is, why is this the case? Why is it that longing for the coming of the Mashiach is so important? Why is it not sufficient to simply believe in it? So I believe in it. I don't long for it. Baruch Hashem, I'm comfortable. I have a nice house. I have a good job, a wonderful family. Everything is going great. So I believe in the coming of Mashiach. Says the Rambam, that's insufficient. You must long for the coming of Mashiach. And the question is why? Why is that so important? It's interesting. One place where the Rambam might have seen this in Chazal is the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos says that when a person dies, he's asked 6 questions. Nasata v'nasasa be'emuna, were you honest in your business? Kavat itim la Torah? Asakta peri v'rivya? Number 4 is tzipisa li'oshua. Did you long for the coming of the redemption? This is fascinating that this would be one of the top 6 questions that a person's asked upon death. Why is that so important? And apparently, I would add, that might indicate that this is also something that isn't so easy. After all, the other questions are clearly very difficult. Kavati itim l'Torah, we all know, is not an easy task. To have kvius itim l'Torah all the time. There's a lot of hardship. Well, apparently, tzipisa li'oshua is A, very important, and B, seemingly at least, something that's difficult. We say in Shmon Esrei, ki li'shuascha kivinu kol hayom, for the redemption, for your redemption, we long for all day. And the question is, why is that so important? So we're going to return to that question at the very end, because perhaps after we have a better idea of what Mashiach is and is meant to accomplish, we'll have a better ability to answer that question. So we'll begin with the following. How do we know who the Mashiach is? We know that throughout our history there have been all sorts of people who have claimed to have been the Mashiach, or others have claimed that they were the Mashiach. How do we know? Who is the Mashiach? So we'll begin by looking at a passage from the book of Yeshayahu, Perek Yud Aleph. This is familiar. We just read it on Shmini Shel Pesach. Some have the custom of reading it on Yom HaTzmut. I don't know, is that what Goldwicht was talking about? I saw, no? Okay. So this has a description of what the Mashiach is going to be like. V'yatza choter migeza Yishai, v'netzer misharashav Yifra. So first of all, we see here that the Mashiach is meant to be a descendant of Yishai, a descendant of Malchus Beis David. Again, we're in the second source on the bottom of page 2. V'nachal lav ruach Hashem, ruach chachma uvina, ruach etzo gvura, ruach das v'iras Hashem. The Melech HaMashiach will be someone with wisdom, with understanding, with the Spirit of God. We'll see he's going to be a prophet. V'haricho b'iras Hashem, v'lo l'marei einav yishpot, v'lo l'mishma oznav yochiach. He's going to be someone who will not judge based on the sight of his eyes, nor decide on the hearing of his ears. So he's going to be a judge, but he's going to be an extraordinary judge in his honesty, in his perception, in his wisdom. V'shafat v'tzedek dalim v'ochiach b'mishor le'anvei aretz v'ka'eretz b'shevet piv uveruach sfasav yamis rasha. Now this is an interesting point. We see from this pasuk that he's going to be very powerful. He is going to smite the wicked. However, the pasuk also indicates that this will take place through his mouth. What does the pasuk say? V'hika eretz, he'll hit the land, but b'shevet piv, with the rod of his mouth. So it sounds like he's not using a gun or a literal rod, but rather the rod of his mouth. What does that mean? Is that referring to his eloquence, his wisdom? We'll see. Uviruach sfasav yamis rasha, and with the breath of his lips, he shall slay the wicked. Again, the breath of his lips, something having to do with what he's able to convey through his mouth. V'hayat tzedek ezor masnav, v'ha'emunah ezor chalatzav. Righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, faithfulness shall be the girdle of his reins. So he's going to be someone righteous and faithful. The Rambam, in the next source, towards the top of page 3, elaborates on the specifics, the details. How do we know that someone is the Mashiach? What are the qualifications? And the Rambam here, as always, is A, very specific. He calls together a number of sources to present the practical halacha in a clear and organized way. And the Rambam here presents us with a fascinating distinction. There are two categories that you have to know when determining who the Melech HaMashiach is. Category 1 is someone who is Bechezkas Mashiach, and Category 2 is someone who is Bevadei Mashiach. What's the difference? Bechezkas Mashiach means the person who is presumed to be Mashiach. Chazaka is a presumption, a reasonable presumption, but apparently not one which is certain. So we'll see. If someone does A, B, C, and D, and E, 5 things, then he's going to be Bechezkas Mashiach. And then it does an additional 2 things, the Rambam says he is Bevadei Mashiach. We see here a fascinating point, which is that there might be a stage in which it's unclear whether the Mashiach has come or will be coming. This too is something which is telling about our current situation. Perhaps it's an allusion to the idea that the unfolding of the Messianic era will be a process, one which involves uncertainty. And the Rambam writes as follows: V'im ya'amod melech mibeis David hoge b'torah ve'osek b'mitzvos k'David aviv. Someone arises from the house of David, who, like his ancestor, follows the mitzvos, studies Torah, k'fi Torah shebichtav v'shebal peh, v'yakuf kol Yisrael eilech ba u'lechazek badka. Moreover, he compels all of Israel to follow the Torah and strengthens the foundations. The Yilcham, Milchamos Hashem, he will fight the wars of God. We'll have to define what exactly that means. Hareze Bechezkas Shehu Mashiach. Such a person is presumed to be the Mashiach. V'im Asa v'hitzliach v'natzach kol ha'umos shesvivav uvana mikdash bimkomo v'kibetz nidchei Yisrael harehu Mashiach bevadai. And if he succeeds in all the above, plus he builds the Beis HaMikdash, he defeats all the enemies, he gathers the exiles, so then he is Mashiach bevadai. Essentially the Rambam says that to be the Chezkas Mashiach, you need to be a descendant of Beis David, someone who delves into Torah, someone who observes mitzvos, someone who compels or brings Bnei Yisrael to follow the Torah, and finally, someone who fights the words of Hashem. Those are the 5 conditions to be Bechezkas Mashiach. And then, if he succeeds in all that, plus he builds the Beis HaMikdash, ingathers the exiles, and defeats all of our enemies, so then he is Mashiach Bevadai. Now the Rambam writes that it is possible, though, for someone to be Bechezkas Mashiach, but then turn out not to be Mashiach. Vim lo hitzliach ad ko. Oh, neherag. Biyadua she'eno ze shivticha alav Torah. Vareu kechol malchei beis David hashlemim haksherim shemesu. V'lo amidu HaKadosh Baruch Hu ela lenasos bo rabim shenemar umina maskilim yikashelu litzrof bahen ulevarer ulelabein ad eis kates ki od limoed. So someone might fulfill some of the initial conditions, but be killed or not succeed in finishing the process. Such a person is a righteous person, but it is not the actual Mashiach. And the Rambam continues in the source below to note that, in fact, that happened at the very least one time in history, namely with Bar Kokhba. Rabbi Akiva, the Rambam says, understood that Bar Kochva was Bechezkas Mashiach. What does that mean? He understood that he wasn't Mashiach Bevadai. After all, Bar Kochva did not rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. However, he did succeed in many of the conditions necessary to be Bechezkas Mashiach. He was a descendant of Beis David. He studied Torah. He brought the nation towards Torah. He fought the wars of Hashem. Rabbi Akiva, the Rambam says, Chacham gadol mechachmei mishnahaya, v'hu haya nosei kelev shel ben koziva hamelech, that's Bar Kochva, v'hu haya omer alav shu melech hamashiach, v'dimehu v'chol chachmei doro shu melech hamashiach. So the entire people, all of the Chachmei Yisrael at that time, thought that Bar Kochva was the Mashiach, ad shenerag b'avonos, kevan shenerag, no dalahem sheino ha-Mashiach. However, once he was killed, once he failed to carry out the process, to complete the process, it became clear that he was not, in fact, the Mashiach. Now, we started by noting the Jewish people's great longing for the Mashiach. We all can think about the famous stories of people during the Holocaust singing Ani Mamin. Rav Kook writes that it's the longing for Mashiach that kept us going throughout the exiles. Despite the bitter persecutions, we always kept the hope. We kept strong, knowing that it would one day come to an end. We hoped, and we continue to hope very soon. But the danger arises that there will be false Mashiachs. And in fact, there have been many over the last two millennia. And the Rambam writes these conditions as a means of preventing it. However, it didn't always work. One of the things that the Rambam continues with is to discuss the first most famous example of a false Mashiach. The Rambam writes in the next halacha, bottom of page 3, this, by the way, this section you will not find in the standard printings of the Rambam in the Vilna edition, as you can figure out very shortly. This was omitted. Christian printings of the Rambam starting from Venice 1574 and onwards until the more recent late 20th century printings of the Rambam all omitted this. So the Rambam writes, Af Yeshu Hanotzri, Shedima Sheyia Mashiach, V'nerag Beveistin, Kfar Nisnave Bo Daniel. Yeshu Hanotzri, the idea that there would be such a false Messiah, was already predicted by Daniel several centuries earlier. The idea that there would be someone like Yeshu HaNotzri. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says in Daniel, Uvnei pritzei amecha yinasu lahamid chazon v'nichshalu. The renegades among your people shall exalt themselves to fulfill the vision of Mashiach, or to claim that they are prophets, lahamid chazon, as in prophecy, v'nichshalu, they will stumble. How do we know that this is a reference to Yeshu HaNotzri? What is meant by nichshalu? V'chi yesh michshal gadol mizeh, shekol ha-neviim dibru shamela shahamishiach gol Yisrael u'moshiyan, u'mekabit nidcheim, u'mechazik mitzvasam, v'zeh garam la'abid Yisrael b'cherev, ulefazer she'irisam, ulahashpilam, ulahachlef ha-Torah, ulahatos rov ha-olam, la'avod Eloha mi-baladei Hashem. It's a remarkable thing. How could anyone think that he was the Mashiach? Or continue to think that he is the Mashiach? After all, what are the things that the Mashiach is supposed to do? To bring universal peace upon the world, to bring the Jewish people to their homeland, to mark an end of persecution and universal knowledge of God. And what did he cause? The opposite of all these things. In his wake was war, further persecution of the Jews, certainly not a restoration to our land, but on the contrary, an exile from our land. Aval, machshavos borei olam ein koch ba'adam l'hasigem. We don't always know the ways of God, how God works through history. Ki lo durachenu durachav, v'lo machshavosenu machshavosav. V'chol advarim ha'elu, shel Yeshu HaNotzri, v'shel zeh yishme'eli sh'amad acharav. So Rambam here refers to Mohammed as well, another example of someone who claimed to be the Mashiach. Ulesake nes olam kulo lavod es Hashem biyachad. Shenemar ki az efoch el amim safa brura likro kulam b'shem Hashem ulovdo shchem echad. The Rambam says that even though followers of Yeshua Notri and Mohammed caused a lot of damage, persecution, suffering, and war, they also accomplished something which sets up the unfolding of the messianic process. And that is what? Says the Rambam, Ketzad, Kvar nismale olam kulo medivrei Mashiach. Now, the whole world knows about the notion of Mashiach. Between the Christians and the Muslims, everybody understands that there's this concept called Mashiach. Umedivrei Torah, umedivrei mitzvos. Not only that, but people know that there's such a thing as Torah. Ironically, the Rambam says, who is it that brought the world, taught the world the idea of Torah? That there is such a thing as Torah, that God communicates with the world to teach them how to act? That's the Christians. And the whole world knows about Torah because of them. Upashto dvarim elu b'iyim rechokim. These notions of Mashiach, of Torah, have spread through even the faraway islands. Uva'amim rabim arle lev. V'heim nosim v'nosnim b'dvarim elu. They're talking about all these things, about Mashiach, about Torah. Uva mitzvos ha-Torah. It's true, they're misguided. Elu omrim mitzvos elu emes hayu ukvar batlu bizman azeh. Some say that the mitzvos were true, but they're no longer relevant. V'lo nohagos ledoros. V'elu omrim dvarim nistarbeish bahen. Some say, well, they're true, they're the word of God, but they're not meant to be taken literally, they're meant to be understood metaphorically. V'einon kipshutan ukvar bo Mashiach v'gila nistareyem. But when the Melech HaMashiach finally comes, he'll clarify these points. It will become clear to one and all the truth. And it will be easy to understand because the basic idea is something that they're already familiar with. And therefore, Shiyamod Melech HaMashiach be'emes, v'yatzliach v'yarum, v'yinaseh miyad him kulon chozrin v'yodim shesheker nachalu avosam v'shenebiyeyem v'avosam hit'um. So when the Mashiach finally does come, they'll see the truth, they'll see the falsehood that was bequeathed to them, and they will understand the MS. Nevertheless, despite the Rambam's definitions of who is the true Mashiach and what's necessary and what the era will be like and so on and so forth, there were subsequent false messiahs, and one of the ones that the Rambam himself dealt with was the episode in Yemen, in Taman, in 1172. In 1172, in that around that period of time, there was a band of radical Muslims who took over the country. Sound familiar? And they forced conversion upon the Jewish people. And there was a lot of sadness, fear, and of course hope that this episode would come to an end quickly. And someone took advantage of that, and a false Mashiach arose. In a very famous letter that the Rambam writes to the leader of the Jewish community in Taman, he addresses two of the issues that the community was grappling with. One is forced conversion to Islam. Does one have to give up their life there? The Rambam famously distinguishes between Islam, which is fundamentally monotheistic, versus Christianity. That's not our topic for today. But the Rambam here also deals with knowing who the Mashiach will be and how we know that this fellow is the false Mashiach. And the Rambam, this is a very long letter, this letter, in fact, brought so much hope and chizuk to the Jews of Taman that they decided to follow the Rambam entirely. In fact, the Ramban writes in a famous letter defending the Rambam from those who attacked him that the Jews of Taman had so much appreciation to the Rambam for having been mechazik them with this letter, as well as other things, that they included his name in the Kaddish. They used to say in Kaddish in Teiman, V'chayechon uv'yomechon uv'chayed Rabne Moshe ben Maimon, Bagalov izman kariv. Wow. So look at what the Rambam did. And you see a fascinating aspect of the Rambam here that you don't always see within the writings of the Rambam, which is care, compassion. He's writing like a grandfatherly figure to give them chizuk. But in the process of his discussion, his long discussion, it's a great letter, very worth reading, he describes, how do I know that this fellow is a false Mashiach? So he writes, V'echad min atanayim, shi'esh etzleinu yiduim l'chol navi, shi'ya betachlis hamada, v'az yinaveh oto HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Melech HaMashiach, of course, is going to be a prophet. And one of the conditions for a prophet is that he has to be intelligent, wise. The Rambam shows that this is what the Gemara means when it says, Chacham Ashir the Gibor. I won't get into his discussion now. It's a fascinating point, another time. The Achas Harayos Shehu Am Haaretz. And he says, but this fellow, this guy who's claiming to be the Mashiach, is an ignoramus. He's an Am Haaretz. He can't possibly be Mashiach. Remember, saw the Psukim in Yeshayahu who said, one of the traits, the characteristics of the Melech HaMashiach is going to be that he is wise. This guy is a fool. How do I know he's a fool? How do I know that? Because he's telling people to violate the Torah. How so? Because he told everybody, Shetziva lefazer adam komimono, bishisnadvu laniyim. This fellow went up and he gave a drush and shul. He said, everybody should give all their money to charity. Give all their money to the poor people. V'chol ha'shomim lehem tipshim, v'hu chote. Either he's an ignoramus and he doesn't know the halacha is that a person should never give more than one-fifth of his income or his assets to tzedakah, lest he himself become needy and dependent upon charity, or he's knows the halacha and he's ignoring it, in which case he's not the Mashiach, or he's just a fool because he's not considering the consequences of his actions. If he tells everybody to give all their money to the Mashiach, to the poor people, what's going to be? Then they'll need charity. So he says that, I know this guy isn't the Mashiach. Based on what you've described, what you've told me about what he's told you to do, because he's told you to violate the halacha, he's acting foolishly and the like, so we know for sure he's not the Mashiach. Right? Which is against halacha. Yeah, so similar point, as you're pointing out correctly, in the Shabtai Tzvi story, where here too there was a great debate as to whether or not he was the Mashiach, including among Chachmei Yisrael, at least at the beginning, of course, before he went to convert to Islam, and the Taz sent emissaries to determine his validity, and as you said in the story goes that he rejected him based off of his failure to observe the halacha, much like the Rambam writes over here. So, the next question that the Rambam here deals with in the Igeret Teiman is the question of whether the Melech HaMashiach will perform miracles. As you noted in the description that the Rambam gives in the Mishnah Torah as to who is the Melech HaMashiach, the Rambam did not mention anything about miracles. So, is it the case that the Melech HaMashiach has to perform miracles? And here we have a seeming contradiction in the writings of the Rambam. In Igeres Teiman, he writes, Aval, this is the bottom of page 5, Klam alosav shisupar bahem al yedei kol ha-neviim mimosh rabbeinu tchilasam ad malachi shusofam. What are some of the conditions that are described by the prophets that will allow us to know whether or not this fellow is the true Mashiach? Tuchol atal ilkot osam min ha'arba v'esrim svarim. So look, study a little bit of Tanakh. Aval amida hamyuchedis lo, hi b'sha shigale yivhalu kol malchei aretz mishim'o v'yifachadu v'tivahel malchusam. When the Mashiach appears, he will draw great honor, respect, fear from the rest of the world. As we saw before in those psukim in Yeshayahu, that everybody will be awestruck, dumbfounded, reverential to him. V'yisnaklu eich la'amod kenegdo b'cherev o b'zulasa, k'lomar shelo yuchlu litonu la'ar alav v'lo yuchlu lehakchisho. Ella, and here's the controversial line, Ella yivalu min hamofsim sheyiru al yado. Rather, instead of defaming him, they will be awestruck by the miracles he will perform, and they will fear him through them. Now, the word here is mofsim. The original here wasn't in Hebrew, so we have to keep that in mind. But the indication is that the Melech HaMashiach will do mofsim, and that implies miracles. And that is going to be the basis of what people, or why people, are going to fear him. Now, the problem with this is that the Rambam explicitly writes in Mishneh Torah that the Melech HaMashiach need not perform miracles. And take a look at the top of page 6. The Rambam here proves that the Melech HaMashiach will not need to perform miracles from the fact that Rabbi Akiva thought that Bar Kochba was the Mashiach. Ein adavar kach, it is not the case that the Melech HaMashiach will have to perform miracles. Sharei Rabbi Akiva chacham gadol michachmei Mishnah haya, v'hu haya nosei keil shabar koziva, v'hu haya omer alav shu Melech HaMashiach. Now, we don't know of any overt miracles that Bar Kochba performed. Sure, he was highly successful, at least initially, in defeating the Romans. He, again, at least initially, succeeded in removing the Romans, the most powerful empire in the world, from Judea. They established a new government, they minted coins, and the like. But we don't find that there were explicit miracles. Now, there are some interesting discussions of Bar Kochba and the Gemara and Gittin and the like, but the Rambam assumes that these are still not overt miracles. So says the Rambam, you see from the fact that Rabbi Akiva thought Bar Kochba was the Mashiach, that the Melech HaMashiach need not perform overt miracles to be considered, at the very least, Bechez Kashu Mashiach. And this raises a question, because in Igeret Teiman, he indicates that the Melech HaMashiach will perform Mofsim. I saw that in the commentary on Igeret Teiman by Rav Shelat, he suggests two possible resolutions. Number one, maybe the wonders that the Rambam is discussing in Igeret Teiman are not nisim that violate nature, but are predictions that the Melech HaMashiach will make about the future, which will make people aware of his being a true representative of God. After all, we actually know that the Torah tells us that one of the ways that a prophet proves that he is a prophet is by correctly and accurately predicting the future. The Rambam did tell us that the Melech Mashiach will be a prophet, will prove that he is a prophet, and that being the case, so maybe when the Rambam describes Mofsim, he's not talking about miracles like the splitting of the sea or the standing of the sun, but rather he's talking about Mofsim that demonstrate his veracity, the veracity to his claim, such as accurately predicting the future. And perhaps we could bring support for this from the psukim that we saw earlier from Yeshayahu, v'hika ba'aret shevet piv, meaning to say he will draw his strength from shevet piv, from his predictions, from the words of his mouth. The Rambam, when describing the mofsim, doesn't describe miracles necessarily, or he doesn't tell you what they are. He says they're mofsim. But perhaps these are mofsim that are mofsim b'shevet piv, and therefore there is no contradiction between what he writes in Igeres Teiman, that there will be mofsim, and what he writes in Mishneh Torah, that there need not be overt nisim. Moreover, or alternatively, perhaps the Rambam is not discussing in Igeres Teiman, or in Mishneh Torah, the Rambam says that the Melech Mashiach need not perform miracles. That's at the beginning when he's Bechezkas Mashiach. But he doesn't necessarily reject the possibility of miracles taking place later on as the messianic process unfolds. One way or the other, though, this has to be considered within the context of a much broader discussion. And that discussion is, what will nature be like during the Messianic era? Will nature change? Will there be miracles? Will miracles become commonplace? What's going to be different? And we begin this discussion with the psukim in Yeshayahu, again from Parak Yud Aleph, the middle of page 6. V'gar ze'ev im keves, v'namer im gedi yirbatz, v'egel uchfir umiri yachda v'nar katon noheg bahem. These psukim are famous, but the question is, are they meant literally? There is a story about how one of the czars, towards the end of the 19th century, who had sort of messianic inclinations. He thought very highly of himself. So he made in the Great Zoo in St. Petersburg an exhibit. And right in the middle of the zoo was a cage with a lion and a lamb. And this was meant to show how he is the Messiah. So somebody once goes up to the zookeeper and he says, how do you do this? How is it that you manage to have a lion and a lamb sitting in the same cage without hurting each other? He says, we start off every morning with two lambs. So what is meant by these psukim? The gar ze'ev im keves, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie with the kid. There's another similar group of psukim in Sefer Vayikra and Parshas Bechukosai in the Brachos, which describe what life will be like if the Jewish people fulfill the entire Torah. And the pasuk says, "V'nasati shalom ba'aretz u'shechavtem ve'en macharid v'hishbati chaya ra'a min ha'aretz." I will remove all the wild beasts from the land. If you look at the Medrash on that pasuk in the Sifra, it presents two ways to understand that prediction. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ma'avirin min ha'olam. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Mashbisan shelo yazuku. Rabbi Yehuda says, what does this mean? That they will be taken off from the land. These wild animals will be removed from the world. And the second opinion, Rabbi Shimon says, it means they will no longer be harmful. Now it would seem that Rabbi Shimon's view, the latter position, is a supernatural understanding of what will happen, assuming that this is talking about the Messianic era. So there will be lions, there will be snakes, there will be leopards, but they will no longer be dangerous. Sounds like a more literal understanding of those psukim in Yeshayahu. However, the first opinion is unclear. Rabbi Yehuda's view could be understood supernaturally. They will be destroyed, no more lions. Or alternatively, the way the Ramban below suggests, is that this could be understood naturally. Ki b'yos, where it's underlined, hasava uverabos hatova v'hayos ha'arim meleos adam lo tavona chayos b'yishuv. If society is successful, if there's prosperity and plenty, so you don't have to worry about lions roaming around in the streets. Even the highways will be safe. Meaning to say that, yes, nobody will be afraid of being attacked by wild animals, but that doesn't imply necessarily that there will be a change in nature. Rather, it's possible that the prosperity, the abundance, the peace will be such that nobody will be afraid of being attacked by wild animals. The truth is, even today, most of us go our whole lives without worrying too much about being attacked by vicious wild animals. If you walk around the heights, some of the dogs are a little scary, so maybe not if you live here. But generally speaking, that's the case. That's possible even without supernatural intervention or the change in nature. And therefore, at the very least, Rabbi Yehuda's view allows for the possibility of an understanding of these prophecies without the change in nature. And the Rambam, top of page 7, makes this point explicitly in Mishneh Torah. V'al ya'alel dat ha'shem melech ha'mashiach tzarich lasos osos umovsim umechadish dvarim ba'olam o mechayim esim ukiyotzi bedvarim elu. So first of all, the Rambam tells us the Melech Mashiach will not have to perform miracles in the bringing of Mashiach. like we mentioned before. And then the Rambam cites a view from the Gemara that nature will not change. Where is the precedent for that idea in the Gemara? The Rambam turns to Brachos, Amar Shmuel, Ein Bein Ha'olam Azel Yemos HaMashiach El Shibud Malchios Bilvad. There's no difference between Yemos HaMashiach and Olam Hazeh, except for that we will no longer be persecuted. And the Gemara gives a fascinating proof for this. Shenamar, Ki Lo Yachdal Evyon Mikarev Ha'aretz. The Gemara apparently understands this to be saying that even in Messianic times there will be poor people. Meaning to say, yes, there will be prosperity and plenty of blessing, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it will be evenly distributed. There might even in Messianic times be a need for charity. And thus, Shmuel at the very least maintains that in the Messianic era, there will not be a fundamental change in the nature of things. That's the way the Rambam understands this. Now, there are differing opinions in the Talmud, but the Rambam thinks that is the correct opinion, that B'Yemos HaMashiach, there will not be changes in nature. Now, there's a topic, a issue here, which we don't have a chance to deal with, I'll just mention it, which is the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva Perek Ches Halacha Zayin, paskins like Reb Yochanan, who says that the prophetic visions described in the prophets are talking about Yemos HaMashiach and not Olam Haba. The Gemara understands that that's in contrast to Shmuel, meaning to say Reb Yochanan and Shmuel disagree. The Rambam, however, paskins both of them. How could he reconcile that with the Gemara is a fascinating question. A number of approaches are cited in this Radvaz below, which we'll skip. Now, this idea that nature will not change during the Messianic era, why is that true? Why is it so important? So the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim explains why that is the case. And he writes as follows. Take a look at the bottom of page 7. We'll read it in English, since the Hebrew anyway isn't the original. We therefore find this idea, when we search for it, expressed not only by Shlomo, but also by others. Shlomo himself stated that these works of God, meaning the universe and all that is contained in it, remain with their properties forever, despite their having been created. Meaning to say, you might have thought that since we accept the notion of Bria Yesh Me'ayin, creation ex nihilo, that allows for the change in nature. If you believed that the universe was eternal, that matter was eternal, so then it would make sense to deny the possibility of change in a natural order. Once you, though, acknowledge that the world was created, then you might have said that the possibility exists for a change. The Rambam says, nevertheless, we reject this idea. Nature will never change. And he says that we see this from many psukim. For example, the pasuk in Kohelet says, whatever God does, it shall last forever. Nothing can be added, nothing can be taken away. In fact, if you look at the footnote 4 on page 8, the Rambam writes that there are many psukim that indicate this, Dor Holech V'Dor Ba, V'Aretz Li'Olam Omedes, Ma Shehaya Hu Sheyeh, U'Ma Shenasa Hu Sheyaseh, Ein Kol Chadash Tachas HaShemesh, Ad Od Kol Yimei HaAretz, Zera V'Katzir V'Kor V'Chom V'Kayitz V'Choref, V'Yom V'Laila Lo Yishposu, Yasad Eretz Al Mechoneh Baal Timot Olam V'Ed, V'yamidem la'ad li'olam chok nasan v'lo yavor, and many others. Meaning to say, there are so many psukim, the Rambam says, that tell us that the way in which God set up the world, the physical properties of the universe, science, will last forever. Now why is that, the Rambam writes? The Rambam writes that's because change would imply deficiency. Meaning to say, that if God were to change the rules, that would imply that they needed to be corrected, that there's something wrong with them, something problematic. Someone who is imperfect, the imperfect creator, needs to tweak his invention, his creation. After all, maybe the first variation was faulty, but the perfect creator, who's all-powerful, will never need to correct. It was initially made perfectly, and therefore, the prophets tell us that nothing in nature will change forever. And that is the basis of the Rambam's conclusion that nature and science will not change in the Messianic era. Now, not everyone agrees with the Rambam about this. The Ramban challenges him on his Perashat Torah, as well as in the Drashas Taras Hashem Tamima, which is on the bottom of page 8. We don't have time to read it inside, or even fully consider it, but one of the suggestions that the Ramban makes is quite fascinating. He says that this, what the Rambam's argument that change implies deficiency, is not correct on a couple of levels. First of all, if we understand that the Messianic era is a new era, so a new era, a new existence, requires different rules. That doesn't imply deficiency. Stage 1 has rules X, stage 2 in history has rules Y. It's not deficient because rules Y were inappropriate for the first stage, but appropriate for the second stage. And this might relate to a more fundamental question, a debate between the Rambam and the Ramban. And that is, do we see the Messianic era as fundamentally a continuation of our current existence, except with things much improved? So everything is just about the same. Things are basically the same, except there'll be some improvements. There will no longer be persecution. There will be universal recognition of God. Everybody will have the opportunity to devote themselves to their spiritual agenda, to pursuit of wisdom. Umala ha'aretz deyas Hashem, kimayim liyam mechasim. But that doesn't mean a fundamental change in nature. We'll continue to serve God, we'll continue to serve mitzvot, except we'll be able to do so from a position of plenty, but not necessarily a major change. The Ramban, on the other hand, sees Yemos HaMashiach as a new epic, a new era, a world which we won't have the same level of freedom, where doing good will become natural. It's not just a continuation of that which was, but the Ramban actually understands it as a transitional point that will lead to Olam Haba and Tchias HaMesim and the like. To fully appreciate that, we'll take a whole nother shiur. So for now, note it. The Ramban says, moreover, these changes don't imply a error, because the truth is, the Ramban says, that our current state of affairs is an anomaly. God originally created the world in such a way that animals will not attack humans. The fact in Gan Eden, Kodem Chet, so the lion lived with the lamb. A lion would not attack a human being. The idea that a lion would attack is a result of the kilkel that came from that first chet, the chet of Adam HaRishon. Our current existence allows us to be misaken that chet, which will usher in the era of Mashiach, when we will revert back to the state of natural goodness, which means, A, literally, the lion will no longer even seek to attack a human, and B, in which we will no longer have the same struggle between good and evil, where naturally we seek that which is, or desire that which is unhealthy, but rather an era in which naturally that which is good for us is what we desire. And that reflects a major change, a shift in Bechira Chafshis and the like. Now this relates to a fascinating prophecy in the book of Zechariah, chapter 12, you could see it on page 9. The prophecy describes an incredible hesped that will take place in the culmination of the Melchemes Gog u'Magog. Bayohu yigdal ha-mispeid b'Yerushalayim ke-mispeid ha-dad rimon b'vigas migidon b'safta ha-aretz mishpachos, mishpachos levad, etc., etc. Now, what is this incredible hesped? There are two opinions in the Gemara that's below. One of them is al-yetzer ha-rasha neharag. And the Ramban understands this means as follows, that the truth is that we will lose something in the Messianic era. What will we lose? What will we mourn? The loss of the Yetzer Hara. Now you might say, "Why? That's a Yom Tov LiYisrael. No more Yetzer Hara. What could be better?" But the Ramban says that's actually not so simple, because it's the Yetzer Hara that is the basis of our freedom, and it is the Yetzer Hara that forces us to choose between good and evil, but also allows us to choose good and be rewarded for that choice, because after all, it's our choice. We could have chosen otherwise. When everything is obvious, when everything is simple, when everything is easy, we will no longer be rewarded for such choices, because after all, they will be natural. The Ramban cites a opinion in the Gemara in Shabbos on page 10 that says that Yemos HaMashiach are Elu Yemei HaMashiach She'ein Bahem Lo Zchus V'Chova. There are times when there will be no merit or no guilt. Why? Because they're Yamim She'ein Li Bahem Chefetz, times where there's no desire. And this reflects a fundamental shift of what will happen B'Yemos HaMashiach. We're just about out of time, so we won't be able to elaborate upon this as well as elaborate upon the nature of mitzvah observance B'Yemos HaMashiach, which is something I'd wanted to talk about perhaps another time, as well as the understanding of Bris Chadasha in the book of Yirmiyahu. But turn to the very end, the bottom of page 13. At the beginning we asked, why is it that we should long for the coming of Mashiach? The Rambam writes, Lo nis'avu ha-chachamim v'anevim yimos ha-mashiach, lo kedei sheyishlatu al kol ha-olam, v'lo kedei sheyirdu ba'akom. The chachamim throughout the ages did not long for the coming of Mashiach so that they will be powerful, almighty, defeat their enemies. V'lo kedei sheynas'u osam ha'amim, nor were they looking for honor among the world's nations. V'lo kedei lecho v'lishtos v'lismoach, nor do we long for Mashiach because it will be a time of prosperity, a time where we could eat, drink, and enjoy the world. These things might be true. We no longer will have enemies persecuting us. There will be prosperity, but that's not what we were longing for. Ella, kedei shiyu penuyin b'torah v'chachma. V'lo yiyeh lahem nogesh u'mevatel. Nogesh u'mevatel. Kedei shiyizku l'chayolam haba kemo shebiyarnu b'helchos tshuva. The Messianic era will be a time where we will finally have the opportunity to study wisdom, engage in mitzvos in a way which we are now not able to do it. The Rambam himself, think about what he accomplished, despite the fact that he had to flee the Almohads earlier in his life. He was very busy later on with his professional life. Yemos HaMashiach will give us a chance to finally sit back and learn, pursue chachma, understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, perform mitzvos in ways in which we're not allowed to, we're not able to nowadays. Those tirdos will no longer be there. So why is it that we long for Mashiach? Number one, it's an end of persecution. Someone who says, I'm so comfortable now, I believe in Mashiach, but what do I need it for? So that's obviously a very narrow vision. You might be comfortable, but there are people who don't have what to eat, there are people who don't have jobs and the like. Moreover, spiritual goals are unattainable now that we will have an opportunity to achieve then. An opportunity to understand the truth, closeness to God in a way in which we're unable to nowadays. But it's even more than that. It's not just about us. Because the era of the Mashiach, there will be universal recognition of the truth, universal recognition of God. We will all know, the whole world, that God exists. Now we live in a world where people could deny the existence of God, where evil frequently triumphs over good. In the Yemos HaMashiach, so will be a world of Bayom Ahu Yeh Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. In that day, God's name will be one. What do you mean? It's not one now? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. It's true, we know it's one. But we see so much in a world that contradicts that. We see evil triumph over good. It's so easy to deny it. On that day, so Yisgadal V'Yisgadash Shmei Rabbah. God's name will be great. Everybody will see the truth. We will all know that God exists, and we will all join together in His service. May that day come very soon. There's some questions. I'm happy to take the questions, but
the Rambam disqualifies the Mashiach Neherag.
Yes.
Is it specifically Neherag or could be Mesos?
So that's a very good question. It's I understand what you're getting at.
I
know you didn't. Right. Well, okay. Where you want me to get to? There have been those who claimed that Neherag is Dafka, which doesn't necessarily then preclude the.